Game Boys.
Hey there, Internet. Welcome to the Game Boys podcast. My name is Lux. I'm your host. And with me, as always, he's reinstated and back in the WWE Hall of Fame. It's Griffin Davis.
Yeah, they took me out and it was a technicality. And it took a Supreme Court ruling. But thankfully, we've got some new guys in there now.
You have no idea what I'm referring to, do you?
Things are starting to shape themselves up.
You didn't hear about this?
WWE news does not count as real news.
They took Hulk Hogan out of the Hall of Fame because he said all that racist stuff, but now they're letting him
amazing.
Back in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was improvising kind of slightly accurately.
Yeah, no, you were close. He didn't get a Supreme Court decision. You just got like old racists from the WWE. You were like, I think 3 years is enough.
Man, that's basically the same thing that we gave Mel Gibson, right? You know?
No, yeah, like, that's like basically, I mean, I'm sure in a year Louis C.K. will be back too. Like, it's just if you're an old white dude who does something awful, you get 3 years and then you come back. Yeah. Well, how's it going, bud? You're looking like you're at your house.
I look so comfortable right now. It's amazing. I'm doing great. And I just want to say one thing. The Game Boys never miss a week. And I'm just proud. I'm proud, Lux. I'm proud that we're doing this.
Yeah, it's wild. For people who don't know what's going on, I've been on the road for a while. We recorded the last episode in D.C. This one we're recording while I'm in New York. We'll probably get at least another one while I'm on the road, but we're never going to miss a week because we're here for you.
Yeah, and that's mainly due to our amazing sound engineer, Haley.
Yeah, actually, it's almost 100% due to sound engineer Haley.
But there's like a hard 3-5% that's us because, we got to book these guests, guys. We got to do it every week. And, this may seem easy, and it is, but in fact, it's hard
probably,
for us.
Probably watching us do it makes it seem a lot harder than it actually is. people are like, can't believe you got this podcast going. I'm like, yeah, neither can I, but not because it's hard, but rather because we're bad at it.
But this is episode 20. We've done 20 week to week to week, and we're going to keep going till we die. But it feels like a milestone. It's not really, but it feels like it is.
I think this is episode 20. It might be 21. Who remembers? I don't know. Either way, 20 is a cool milestone, but so is 21 because now we can drink. Griffman, what have you been gaming on, my dude?
I'm finishing up Hollow Knight. I'm at the point in the game where it's like, I'm sad because I know I'm near the end and I want to start all over again.
You are so horny for this game.
We've talked if we were doing this podcast when Breath of the Wild came out, that's all I'd be talking about.
That's
too.
Actually, like, true. That was all you talked about to me for a week.
It's in my top 10 now. Other than Hollow Knight, by the time this cast comes out, a new hero will be on the loose. I'm talking about Hammond, aka Wrecking Ball, the new hamster hero from Overwatch.
Oh my god, right. We talked about this with Bennington.
Yes, and now it releases in 2 days, I believe, 2 or 3 days. So by the time this is out, I will be hamming around. So I'm excited about that.
I assume that take all this to mean that you did not get the Octopath Traveler demo and try it.
No, because I'm still finishing Hollow Knight, and this is the week I have a show, so like I actually have to do things when I get home. that's on the shelf. That's somewhere. That's gonna happen. How about you? You're still playing Octopath, or just playing, hanging out with your family?
Yeah, I'm playing traveling and seeing my family and my friends. I got a haircut, which is a pretty rare thing, but I did it. My hair's real short now, which is distressing. Makes my face look very pointy. I haven't been playing anything aside from the game we're playing for this. And I've not had the time. I've played Get Really Angry at my Amtrak train because they couldn't get the signals right. So they had to slow down before every station. So it added an hour and a half to my train ride.
Man, this is just, it just sounds like you should have brought the Switch. I brought my Switch to the beach.
Oh my God, just like the commercial.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer profanity of it. just like
to be like, oh, I'm gonna go to the beach in LA with all these hot people and I'm gonna bust open Hollow Knight and sit here and they're all gonna be jealous.
It was really hard to play. The thing they don't tell you is it's very hard to play outside.
I mean, I believe it. There's so much fucking glare.
But enough about the things I talk about every week, like the Switch. We should probably get to our very exciting guest.
Yeah,
we do
a very exciting guest. Our guest is a very close friend of mine. He was a writer or he's an editor at Silicon Magazine. He organized and worked for Moogfest, an advertising dude at Imprint. and an artist and making stuff with a group called Computer Duo. It is Josh Siegel. Josh, in the tradition of Ayla Glass. Fuck, I will never get her name right.
Dude, she's listening.
I'm sure
she's
listening
right now.
She's going to be just swore
in her glass.
Sorry, yeah, the traditional Ira Glass, yeah. Our former guest Ira Glass. Josh also provided beers for this our session, our end.
So, incredible. What are you sipping on
we're
here?
We're sipping on, can check real quick. We're sipping on some OK beer.
That's what it's called.
A full pale beer with some words in a language I don't know, but I'm about to pop this bad boy.
That's incredible. And you know, Josh, I assume that you just did this just out of the good of your heart, not because you've been noticing a pattern in the podcast. Like, you're not a fan of the podcast, right?
I mean, I'm a fan of Lux's.
Great. Yeah.
The one of like eight.
I'm acquainted with the podcast, but not intimately.
Whenever a guest brings on beer, the podcast takes on a new form. It's like a new level. And we get at least 20 extra listens right then and there.
Yeah,
for the
that's
beer.
Why we always kind of bang on it. It's a huge hit for us. But Josh, you are an interesting dude who's done a lot of things. So why don't you tell us a little bit about just like where you're at? Because you've lived in New York forever, right? You've lived in New York since day one.
My whole life.
So you're like a born and bred New Yorker.
I lived in Vermont for 1 year for my freshman year of college. Oh. I wanted to die.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. And you did indeed want to die. But so how did you get into like, so you're in like an artist, but you work in a bunch of different mediums, making a bunch of different stuff. And like, what's your situation with that? Like, how did you get into it? How did you start? Why do you do it?
That's the hardest question.
All right. Well,
how did I get into it? I never didn't do it. I don't know. I went to like school. I had the opportunity.
You've just been making stuff since you were like a youth.
Since I was a child, my dad is kind of an artist, a graphic designer, creative director at Crane Stationery now.
Wow.
It's cool, right?
Yeah. Plug that dad.
Gotta.
So you went to college for graphic design?
No. I studied creative writing in college. Yeah. Technically speaking, I wanted to go to art school. And my mom was like, you can't do that.
That's a good mom, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm super grateful for it. And then I ended up studying creative writing and I was like scared to tell her about it. When I like declared my major,
because it was still kind of
artsy. Well, same shit.
Going to not art school and majoring creative writing is just like going to secret art school.
Yeah, right.
I went to the new school and majored in creative writing. It was like
or like the individualized study programs they have now, like these new meta like millennial majors that you can like make your own.
Yeah, no one here did that. Certainly, nope. I did. Nope. We all have real regular ones that are definitely on in the catalog. That's for sure about us.
Well, mine's regular in the sense catalog. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, mine wasn't.
Yeah,
I made mine up.
I'm aware.
Like a huge idiot.
But when I told my mom, she was like so excited. I remember this like clear as day. She was so excited, and I was so confused. And she was like, "Well, it's gonna be great. You're gonna be able to write amazing emails."
Whoa.
Oh, so she instantly hooked it right back to the corporate stooge.
She saw my future.
Ladder climb.
Except, to be fair, you're writing a lot of emails.
You know, I write like fewer emails now than I have in months.
But
that's how I celebrate.
You are the executive editor of Imprint's sort of email thing, right?
That's a new thing. The marketing agency I work at, I just started editing the newsletter. It's called News. It goes out on Fridays.
Very good name for a newsletter,
and,
I guess.
It has news about Imprint projects, and then it has news about New York, like events, LA and San Francisco, where all of our offices are. And then we have not news, which is a double negative because it's like...
Still news. Still news, gotcha.
Industry related or like just weird,
sure.
Cool shit I see on the internet. And then not news. At the very end, which is just funny shit.
Right. Like, is it just like memes or whatever?
Yeah. Like last week it was like the Kiki, Do You Love Me dance challenge.
Oh, nice. Cool. That was very good. Well, Josh, what is like, so you do these projects at Imprint. I know you work with Moogfest, which you should tell people about, but also like, so what does Imprint do?
Imprint is a post-advertising creative agency.
Okay. What the fuck does that mean? Post-advertising? You make ads.
We're a marketing agency. Slightly different thing.
Okay.
Honestly, he's selling it to me right now in the room, whatever this thing is. You know, he's already...
It's our funny, intentionally provocative phrase.
Sure.
I see.
Build that brand.
The point is, we try to, like, all these big companies, like, have to spend this money to do advertising and, like, get people to know about them, right? But they don't have to, like, make traditional ads. for people to know about them. And in fact, like engaging with culture and like producing culture is a much more effective way for a brand to like make a impact on a consumer. So,
the Moog Fest are like an example of that, right? So why don't you talk about that? Cause that shit, I mean, I went to the South by Southwest, like little version of that, and it was fucking wild. And I know a bunch of our friends went to the actual thing.
Moog Fest, like the Moogles from Final Fantasy.
Way to tie it back to the podcast theme, but no.
I don't know who they are.
It's okay. You don't need to worry about the Moogles.
No, it's Moog Fest is an electronic music and technology festival in Durham, North Carolina, that I helped organize for 2 years, 2016 and 17. And it's just like the most magical, incredible weekend of the year.
Like what kind of shit? Like,
So it's dedicated to Bob Moog, who invented, or didn't invent, but was one of the people who like figured out what analog synthesizers were. And he started this company called Moog Music, and they make these synths, and they're super influential. And like because music sounds the way it does now because of this instrument. And so it's a festival dedicated to Bob Moog and his legacy. So during the day, it's a tech conference. It's all through the lens of music. So we go super deep on each constituent aspect of electronic music performance. So you have like the hardware, you have the software, but you also have like the cool weird art that's like happening behind the performer.
That's cool.
Then you also, if you like dig a few levels deeper, there's like futurist philosophy tones and things, you know? So there's always a keynote speaker who like speaks on the future of creativity.
That's fucking dope.
And so that's during the day, and then at night it's an electronic music festival. And like best case scenario, which often happens, the people who speak during the day perform at night.
Well, so it's kind of like a hybrid TED Talk Bonnaroo.
Sure.
Sure.
That's great. Yeah. I feel like TED Talk could use more Coachella.
But it's in downtown Durham, so it's like not like a, it's like civilized. Oh. Sleep in a bed, you don't sleep in a field.
Sure, you're not not barbarians like those Bonnaroo hippies. But so you did, so you did that for a couple of years, but what's on the docket right now? Anything particularly cool?
No, I just want to plug this newsletter. I just want people to sign up for the newsletter. If you go to imprintprojects.com and like click around a bunch, I think probably there's a contact section of the website. Sign up for my newsletter. It would be great. I can show more subscribers.
We're about to unleash the Game Boys army onto your newsletter. Yeah. You're going to regret saying that.
Game, boys, news.
Server's about to crash.
That actually became the rhythm of the safety dance somehow.
Game, boys,
I have a question
about
advertising. So, like, what is the state of advertising right now in terms of, like, your company? Like,
We're coming for you.
Is that what's happening? Is that advertising thriving, or are people watching ads anymore?
Yeah, I think definitely.
And we're gonna talk about people watching ads on this fucking podcast. I'll tell you that right now. We're gonna get into that.
Sure we are. I mean, I don't think ads are ever going away, but we can just like do cooler shit with that money.
Like make a festival or whatever.
Or like help people, like do stuff that like actually helps, like give resources to communities and things like that, and modes of patronage, if you will.
Oh, let's bring back the patron model. Someone find me a Duke to finance my art.
Let's be real. It's like we are in a feudal era.
That's not wrong. The average American takes less vacation days than a medieval peasant. Learned that yesterday. Anyways.
Where was the peasant vacationing is
like,
my question.
Like 3 miles away in the woods, but like in a safe place with no wolves.
Yeah. Just like sit in the stream or like lazy river.
Yeah, they just like looked at a rock for a while. But back in the day, that was like fucking like, that was HBO, baby. Yeah.
Well, back to work.
Man, I've been looking at this rock for 4 days and honestly, I've never felt better.
Like the next day in the morning, dude, you guys watched The Rock last night?
That's one thing that humanity will never lose. There will always be reasons to watch The Rock, whether it's an actual Rock or the Ed Harris film or the actor. Like it's always... There's always The Rock.
The Ed Harris film about Alcatraz.
Yes. That's a good movie. With Nicolas Cage as well. Yeah, it's a great movie. So we're very close to the street. If you could hear that little motorcycle going by or whatever. So here's a question for you, Josh, is what's your relationship to video games? Cause I know it is back and forth or a little bit staccato-y. Yeah.
That's a cool way to describe it. I don't think of myself as someone who plays video games. I play games on my phone because, like, I get stoned and then, like, want to play games on my phone. But I don't have – I don't own a console of any kind.
Wow.
And I haven't since an Xbox 360 5 years ago.
I remember that Xbox 360.
Which I sold in a fit of rage because my stepdad had – my stepdad had a screener for Les Mis, and for some reason I thought it was a good idea to watch that, and I hated it so much that I thought the only thing that seemed logical, the only reasonable reaction was to purge my house of all things that could show me that media.
Wait. Whoa. Okay, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's like actually totally fucking insane.
So I just like unplugged the Xbox 360 and like took it.
So Les Mis was so bad you sold your Xbox, like you sold like a, did you have DVD players in the house?
No,
like,
that was the only thing that could show me a DVD.
It was like quitting cigarettes for you, but like with Les Mis.
The last straw that broke the camel's back. Well, like, but you played, when you got the Xboxes, you like played games back in the day, right? You used to play video games a little bit more, right? That was sort of a...
The only game I ever really liked was Grand Theft Auto 4.
Ooh, a classic.
Wow. No.
Wasn't 4 a good one?
4 the worst in New York.
Well, look, man. I honestly.
Well, it's definitely not the fan favorite. Worst is Mean. That's my opinion. 4 is the sad one with Niko Bellic.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, look, honestly, we talked about this on the Grand Theft Auto episode with Babaji. Like,
they're all good.
When it comes to those games, like, all I'm doing is like shooting cops. Like, I'm not playing the stories. I'm just killing cops. So.
And all I'm doing is saving them.
Yeah. So that's the yin and the yang of me and Griffin. I'm out here murdering digital cops, and Griffin's just trying to rescue every single fucking one of them.
Weird. That's a weird thing to do, Griffin.
Yeah, no, I mean, look.
That's my bad.
That's why we're the nerds who have a video games podcast.
But I was like kind of into sports video games. I was kind of into Madden and stuff.
Sure, well, those are fucking rad.
But like, I wasn't like really actually into Madden.
You weren't doing the like sit around and like practice and do all the play scenario stuff in practice mode or whatever.
No. You know what I learned recently? The rapper The Game.
Oh yeah.
Is the best Madden player in the world.
Is that true?
He's the number one ranked Madden player in the world.
Whoa. He's also a star in the 3-on-3 basketball league, The Big Three.
Is that so?
Yeah, or at least he was for a while, and he's also played in the Drew League, a semi-professional basketball league. Griffin is looking at me like I am speaking entirely in like backwards Japanese.
No, I think it's the video chat. I'm nodding in appreciation for the game's game. His expansive reach.
That's why he's called The Game.
Is that true?
Yeah, but which came first, the Madden or the raps?
I saw this video of him talking with Gary Vaynerchuk.
For people who don't know Gary Vaynerchuk, give us a little taste of that.
Gary Vaynerchuk is this like social media figure who runs this company called VaynerMedia. It's hard for me to explain what he actually does.
I just want
to
really quickly point out that Vayner definitely sounds like a euphemism for boner. Just want to get that out there.
I think he's like a Russian.
I don't see it, but we don't have time to explain.
There's like a vein on it.
I'm kidding.
I didn't see it. I just thought it was like ner.
I refuse to not explain that. I'm getting it into the ether. I'm doing it. So you saw him talking to Gary Vaynerchuk.
So yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk was like, wait, you're the number one ranked Madden player in the world? And he was like, yeah, dude. Like, fuck with me. I swear, I will murder you. And then he like gives his backstory of why he's called The Game. And it's like because he was like really good at games and like loved playing games.
Dude, that's awesome.
And he like tried to give himself some shitty rap name. I can't remember what it was. And like it wasn't working. It wasn't getting famous when he was younger. And then his sister was like, why are you doing that? Just call yourself your name.
Like, I should call myself the Wii U.
I call myself the Switch. Because Switch mode is the
greatest. Dude, is there a rapper called The Switch? Because that sounds tight.
Yeah, that actually would be a pretty dope name.
Sounds scary.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? Sometimes rappers want to be scary. I would try. I tried to be when we were doing the rap thing.
You were scared. We were all scared.
We were all pretty scary. No one was scary as scary.
What, like horrorcore raps? What are we talking about?
No, I just tried to be sort of like, you know how I'm very much not an aggressive person and just sort of sound like this all the time? I tried to channel some more of like emotional bandwidth of anger into my shit. It was like a 50-50 success, I would say.
You can do that.
Yeah, I take that. Anyways, Griffin, I think we've talked enough about sort of general bullshit, but you probably have something you want to talk to us about the past.
I completely agree. Our guest has brought on a wonderful game, and I think we should get into a little bit of history about this game. We're going to start from the beginning. A mobile game is a video game played on a smartphone / tablet, smartwatch, PDA, or portable device, or graphing calculator. The earliest known game on a mobile phone was a Tetris variant on the Hagenuk MT-2000 device from 1994. In 1997, Nokia launched the very successful Snake. Snake, and its variants that was pre-installed on most developments, has since been one of the most played video games of all time and is found on more than 350 million devices worldwide. However, mobile games distributed by mobile operators and third-party portals remained a marginal form of gaming until Apple's iOS App Store was launched in 2008. As the first mobile content marketplace operated directly by a mobile platform holder, the App Store significantly changed the consumer behavior and quickly broadened the market for mobile games, as almost every smartphone owner started to download apps. This time on Game Boys, we play Looper, a musical timing game developed by Danny Cruz that can only be enjoyed from the palm of your hand. Will the boys hit the beats, or will they tell this game to hit the streets with Looper?
You're dang, that was a really good one. Yeah, man. So this game, this fucking game, you play this? Yeah. So this one was. Well, okay. First of all, Josh, what? Why this game of all games?
Well, I haven't really been playing a lot of games lately in general, but this was the game. This is the game that's on my phone right now. I go through phases, I guess, of like playing a lot of games on my phone to no games. Because I like get disgusted with myself for looking at my phone and doing literally nothing. I'm not even stalking people. I'm like doing nothing. Yeah. So I stop doing it sometimes.
So wait, it goes like productive tasks, stalking people, and at the bottom is mobile games.
Yeah, for sure. By stalk people, I mean like be on social media.
No, well, of course. You mean like plot their location with Google pins and schedule your time to walk by their windows while they shower.
Siri does that for you.
Yeah, Siri.
God, Siri, the technology in those things has gotten out of control, to be honest.
Siri can't do that, but you're like, hey, Google.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, Google, I'm not going to go anywhere with this joke. It's going to only get dark. Anyways, so why was this? So you go through these cycles and then you're on one with this game, I guess?
Oh, yeah, so I don't know. I was game free for a little while. And then I was like bored. I was watching TV and I didn't want to pay attention to TV. And so I also didn't want to like look at Instagram. I'd been looking at Instagram, and so I went to the App Store and hit that games section on the iOS App Store, which is different than yours, Lux.
Yeah, very different than Google Play.
Now, before we go through every step of downloading an app, which most people listening to the show already know,
I clicked through.
Now, first, it said you ran out of space, so you had to delete some other stuff.
I have a big phone.
What kind of device are you rocking? What are you playing games on?
I'm on an 8 Plus.
On an 8 Plus.
All right. So, plenty of real estate on that.
So
screen.
That probably looks great on the 8 Plus.
Everything looks great.
Yeah. And then So let's actually go through that. So you're rocking an iPhone 8 Plus. I'm on the Galaxy S9. Griffin, what are you rocking with?
I have a 7 Plus. That was cracked screen, and then a man in LA told me to go to the store to get it fixed for cheap, and they kind of fixed it, but now it's got a blue tint to everything. So it's like not cracked, but it's slightly blue.
Well, that's kind of good though, right? Because isn't blue light better for your eyes than white light? So like it's just better for your...
They were doing a favor.
Blue light is the light that fucks with your circadian rhythms the most.
Oh, perfect.
The opposite of what I said. I don't know anything.
That's why when you put night shift on your computer or on your phone or Flux or whatever, it gets orangey red.
Is that why I cried in the parking lot this morning?
Probably.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know you, Griffin, but there could be all kinds of reasons for that.
It was just that you were remembering that we had to do a podcast today.
Yeah, it's just like, oh God, it's Thursday.
As though we record on a regular day anymore.
But yeah, so those are the devices we're rocking. Now, I like this game because I am not musically talented, but it like tricks me into making me feel like I built something good.
Yeah, for sure. That's like a big part of the game is like tricking you into feeling like you made a cool song.
Yeah.
So Josh, wanna explain to people who haven't played Looper like what the game is like?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you open it up and there's like some lines and you hit when you touch the screen, like a ball starts moving on the line and it's to a beat. It's hard to explain actually. it like travels on the line according to a certain aspect of a beat, right? And there are multiple lines on the screen, and you have to turn on the movement of multiple balls, and they all intersect.
Without them colliding, right?
And if they collide, you lose the level, and if you if you, they don't, for like 7 seconds or something, you get to move on.
Yeah, and if you stay on beat, then if you if you're on beat, they won't collide, and if you get off beat, they do collide.
Exactly.
And yeah, so the game's pretty cool. It's got a cool aesthetic of like kind of like it's sort of like Geometry Wars esque. If you guys ever played that game, that like very bright, shiny game.
It is like Geometry Wars.
Yeah, it's like got that kind of aesthetic of just like poppy light, which is really nice. And it also has and like lines and bright shapes and loud sounds. So it's great for like me or a baby. And so, which synonyms,
yeah, you must be pretty bummed Toys R Us is shutting down.
Dude, you have no fucking, where am I going to get my Minion stuff?
Where are you going to ride the carousel?
Where am I going to do anything? Everybody who's listening, by the way, I just want to put this out there. I'm looking for a cloth snapback hat that just has a Minion on it.
I can't help you with that, but I do. I personally have a Minions away bag, like luggage.
Oh, I know you do, and I'm extremely jealous of it.
So if you need Minions gear, like you can just go to away, I guess.
Okay.
So Lux, you're telling me that in this cursed world of multiple Minions properties, you can't find a single fucking hat with a Minion on it?
I just haven't looked super hard. I haven't found one that I like. But if anyone has good suggestions,
Etsy.
Oh God!
I feel like I see Minion merch just like everywhere in the streets.
Yeah, maybe I could
just
find some.
It's just like part of the normal debris now.
Yeah, maybe if I sort of walked less straight-backed and prideful and looked at the ground like some kind of plebeian, I might catch some Minions gears lying
too
on the curb.
Too prideful.
Yeah, I walk like a nobleman. Josh is looking at me. I said I walked like an omen, and Josh looked at me like I was made out of like just pure water. Like I was like didn't even exist and like defied the laws of physics. He's right. I don't walk like a nobleman. I walk like a dirtbag. Anyways, here's the thing about this game, because I also really liked it and it was fun. But here's my experience with it. I was waiting in line to get on the train at Union Station, and I was playing it, and I was having a great time. I was burning the whole line weight. I was loving it. And I get on the train. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to play this game on this train. I'm going to have a great time. And all of a sudden I get an ad, and I'm like, okay, you know, mobile games come with ads. And then I get, a couple minutes later, I get another ad. I'm like, oh, that was a lot faster than the last one. And like a minute later, I get another ad. And I was like, that's even faster. And then all of a sudden, it was after every screen, I'm getting an ad. It's every level I got ads.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Mr. Advertiser.
Yeah, and it drove me.
I don't make ads.
So you've realized why we've called you here today.
Yeah.
To call you out on your bullshit.
I didn't make this game. I don't make these ads.
That's what your mouth say. But here's the thing is like, it's a really good game, but it's trapped in so many ads that I couldn't play. I had to stop playing it. I haven't played it since it drove me crazy.
So I've never seen an ad in this game. You want to know why?
Because you paid $3?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Of course I do.
Yeah, and the ads on apps are so ugly. They look like they're from the 90s. Like
it's rude.
They just like they fuck the app up, like just on a aesthetic and just on a spiritual level.
Also,
like,
yeah, and the ads in this game are like so like shotgun style scattershot. Like one was like the Harry Potter Hogwarts game. Then it was like Tom Clancy sniper assassin. And then it was like make a farm. And it was just like these. Who do you think is playing this game? Who likes all those things? They're just like, oh, one of these will hit someone in a way that works.
Yeah, totally.
And there's 55 every 10 seconds. So like one of them will get you. And it drove me fucking up the fucking wall, dude.
Yeah. So when I went to the app store and I clicked over to the game section and I eventually found
you scrolled for a little while and
you scrolled for a while. And I you were actually, in the music section. You switched over to games.
There's no music section. It's crazy.
That rules.
That's a different app. But
yeah, you're right.
What I read a review because, you know, I thought why not? And it was like you, Lux, it had a terrible review. It was so angry and it said there's too many ads. So I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna pay for this right off the bat. Not interested in dealing with the ads.
And that's like a real thing. The thing with that is that like this happens with mobile games. Like there are some really cool, like, cause one thing about mobile games that I like is that a lot of them are really simple. So the game design is like really elegant and like effective and neat in a way that's cool and mechanically interesting. But then they're just filled with fucking ads and it drives me fucking off the fucking wall.
Well, listen, I believe in this, the free market and the sweat of one's brow. And I think that if you put a bunch of energy into making something people enjoy, like you deserve $3.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. That's a reasonable point to make. And
for me, yeah, as an adult, like if you charge a reasonable amount for something, I'm not mad. Like I get mad when people charge like $25 on iTunes for like the new movie, but it's like, no, like I'll buy a TV episode for like a 99 cents or like $2. Like that's content, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, for sure. That's definitely true. It's just like,
you really pay for TV?
I pay for certain shows that I can't get access to. Yeah, just because I want to watch them in HD.
Interesting.
Griffin, just because I don't know what a torrent anymore. And they just like, I want to watch it in HD. And for like $2, I'll do that. I've done that for like some American Horror Story seasons. And I did that for Rick and Morty, too.
Well, yeah. Give him your dad's password.
Yeah, I should do that if you need a password. Well, we'll talk about this later.
Can you just read it out to me now?
No, he got mad at me because I gave it to too many people recently. So I need to not do that on the podcast.
You shouldn't say it on the podcast.
I probably shouldn't put that out there.
For our
seven.
And don't worry, everybody. It'll be in the episode details.
We will not. I write the episode details and I promise you it won't be.
My riddle segment this episode is just Guess and Lux's login.
What is Rabbi Jack's login for all of his stuff?
But back to the game. You're right. Like, is what were we talking about with this game? Just mobile games and ads.
We're talking about ads right now. Ads is
gonna happen. There's only a few games that are truly free, and those have microtransactions. And like that's like the other evil, where it's like only a few people pay for everyone. Basically, like whales pay for the microtransactions, and it's free for everyone else.
What games are you talking about? Like a pay to win.
I'm talking on an earlier episode we did The Simpsons Tapped Out, which is a Sim City building style, but it's themed in The Simpsons. It's free to play, but you are encouraged from like minute one to buy these donuts, and the donuts cost a crazy amount of money, and you use them to buy like cooler characters and stuff. And the way that these games pay for themselves basically and actually make more money than if they charged up front is that they make it free for everyone, and only a few players, which they lovingly refer to as whales, either have a massive amount of income or like are, you know,
children
using their parents' thing, or have a serious, you know, illness of some sort that prevents them from making smart decisions. And so like those dumbitis. Yeah.
You mean being a child?
Hey, they're not the same because I have dumbitis and I'm a 27-year-old man. Yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, it's the same. It's the exact same thing. Like, that's the way they talk about and design casinos to make money too. Like, casinos make money off of whales in the same way. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's the exact same idea, which is kind of dark.
Well, just so I'm clear on how the Simpsons game works, like, do you need a donut for any reason in the game other than you could continue playing,
but like all of the good characters are donuts
and cool basically. Buildings and all the stuff that like, and part of the game, the way the game works is like, at a certain point, like you want to like compare your town to other people's towns. And if you have a town like mine where you're not paying for anything, it just is like this like shabby, yeah, like suburb zone. And then you go to like Griffin's right. fucking town, and there's like rocket ships everywhere and like a Krusty Burger. And a theme
I earned
park.
Most of that. I earned How most
you,
of
okay,
that.
Okay, this is the thing that's so strange, right? It's like there are all these games where you like literally can't win if you don't pay 99 cents or whatever. But then this one sounds like there's no point to this game, I guess. You can't win.
No,
you
can't. It's just a design game.
There's no levels.
No, it's just like a money and time sucking monster.
You're just like, you just get sucked into it.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. But yeah, but you're right. You drew a distinction we were talking
about.
It's
like the eternal treadmill of progress, like, is what it is. Like, for those kind of games.
Yeah, take that, capitalism. Anyways, Josh, you were talking before we got on the pod about like the difference between like play to win or pay to win and pay to play, which I think is an interesting distinction, especially in the context of mobile games, that like, some of them do like require that, like, if you want to win this game or be competitive in this game, you have to pay $100 or like hundreds of dollars, like microtransactions. Mm-hmm. Whereas this game is like $3 up front. I think that's an interesting distinction to draw, especially because,
well, it's not though. Like, it's not $3 up front. You know, it's a free game. It's an optional $3 to get rid of the ads that you can pay whenever you want, whenever you get pissed off enough, you know, and sure, then you can pay an additional $3, I think, to be able to like skip the ad before the, like the special level at the end of each, mm-hmm, like 10, whatever.
And you pay an extra $3 to tell them to stop calling your house.
I didn't pay either of those $3 in getting those calls.
I like them. They're nuts. No one calls me. So it's like nice.
My phone is ringing.
Wait, actually, this is a total tangent, but today someone called my phone and I answered it and it was nobody I didn't recognize. And it was this lady who was like, Chris? And I was like, no, this is Lux. And she was like, oh, I guess I have the wrong number. I was looking for my son. And I was like, well, I'm not your son. She was like, well, I love you too. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she was like, yeah, well, if I ever call you by mistake, just think of it as your mom checking in. And I was like, that is the sweetest.
Holy shit.
That is the sweetest wrong number call I've ever gotten.
This goes back to last week's episode where I was saying how people just like want to be nice to you.
Right. No, people even on the phone can tell that I need help.
See, that's the opposite of the last wrong number I got.
What, did someone call you?
It wasn't even a wrong number. I thought it was a spam call, but who knows? It was the local police. That's how they.
Hello, we are the local police.
That sounds fake from the get-go. Yeah,
that's insanely fake.
We're the local police, and there are several warrants out for your arrest, but don't worry, you can deal with that. Now this on the is phone, if you give the us chillest thing or some shit.
That is so fucked like, up.
That's not cool. Okay, click. And then I googled it, and AARP told me that it was most likely a scam. So I feel like I'm probably in the clear.
Yeah, those phone scammers, they'll get you. That's why you got to break your phone, smash it.
Well, then you can't play Looper. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation, but that thing happened to me today, and it's just so mind-bogglingly weird. And kind of really nice.
I want to get back to the game with something I want you guys to... I want to hear your opinions about this. I like this game, but mobile games for me have to be something that's like... I can play in those spare minutes waiting in line, you know, stopped at a red light. I'm kidding. Like just, you know, those like few minutes where maybe you're not scrolling Instagram. This game, I feel like you'd want to have headphones on for or something. Or it just feels like something you want to play like, alone at night in bed.
Yeah.
Did you try it without sound?
Huh?
Did you try it with your sound off? Oh, because that's like this whole other thing.
Yeah, there's like it's like a double game, right? Because when you play the sound on, you're going by the beat and you react to the beat. When you play the sound off, it's like a spatial recognition game.
It's just a timing. It's a timing of, visual timing.
Yeah, which is a cool, like kind of double matrix. It was why I think that like... That's why this game having so many ads drove me crazy, is that the game is so fucking well designed. Like there's so much of the game that really fucking rules. Like there's this double layering of how you could play it. And there's like, I mean, the music is kind of repetitive, but it's fun. And like the visuals are good. And so like the design of the game is great. It's just sort of like you're right, Griffin and Josh, that like they need to make money somehow. And it makes sense that they ask you to pay $3. And like, that's a totally reasonable price, but it's just like,
wait, let me be clear though. They don't ask you to pay $3. It's a free game. They bamboozle you. They strong arm you into paying $3.
Right. That's like, what I don't like about
it. It's not asking. It's not like, hey, can you pay us $3 to play this game? That's what a game that costs $3 is.
Yeah.
This game is an in-app purchase, has many in-app purchases, which are just bullshit. You know, like they feel like they always feel like they're taking advantage of
it. Right. Actually, that's why it made me mad. Cause it was like, they're inundated. Like you slowly tricked me into loving this game and then flooded me with ads and to get me to buy it.
Gets you hooked. And I was not interested in getting hooked. And I also am like, I'm going to spend all this time playing this stupid game. Like what else do I spend $3 on that? Like takes up as much as my time. Like,
I just feel like only 10 people would pay $3 up front in this day and age, though. Like, would you have even tried it if it had been $3?
No, I probably wouldn't have, but it just inundated me with ads and drove me insane.
So you're mad at them for charging for it afterwards, but also you wouldn't have bought it up front.
Look, I'm not saying my reaction is rational. I'm just telling you what happened to me in my feelings.
But also, that said, like, I pay to win. When I have games that are like that, like, because I get frustrated that I can't get past a level or whatever. So, this costs 99 cents to, like, get these diamonds or whatever that, like, I can trade in for whatever bullshit. Like, yeah, let's do it. Oh, I gotta get the diamonds to turn it into game cash that I can spend on skill points. And I can finally beat this one level to move on to another level that I won't be able to beat if I don't get more diamonds to turn into more game cash, to turn into more skill points. And, like, eventually, that's kind of why I get disgusted with it. You know, like, I gotta get rid of all these games.
Yeah, no, you can definitely feel yourself falling into that cycle in a major way. I mean, that's the thing. I really like mobile games because they're so good at making you fall into that cycle. And then it's so frustrating when they try to use it against you. And you're right, Griffin. I shouldn't be so mad about it because it makes total sense as like a strategy and like a reasonable way to exist in like the world we live in. But I still feel like they're trying to deceive me, and I hate feeling like they're trying to make a mark out of me.
It would have been smoothed out more if like somehow the UI was better. So it just didn't feel as like brutal.
And if, as you say, the ads weren't so bad.
Yeah, well, there's just got to be some like automatic ad serve that feeds all these games, right? Like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's choosing to put these terrible, shitty game ads into these like
Some of them just are gameplay footage of games that don't explain what's happening in the game. And so it's just like a bunch of stuff happens. And then it's like, do you want this game? And it's like, no, what? Why? What even? What did I just look at?
Probably
like,
some people want that game.
That's what's crazy.
Like, yeah. I feel like 90% of those ads are the same game. Whatever this kingdom game is, it's just like every game is this kingdom game where you have a kingdom and you fight other kingdoms. And there's like really shitty terrain graphics.
Wait, so I've never seen any of the ads in this particular game, but are they interactive ads or they're just footage?
They're footage, and you can like either press X to click out of them, it takes you to the Play Store, the Apple Store, and then you can go back to the game. The ad will just finish there because it's a fucking lie. or you watch through and you can close it, and then it goes back to the game.
My favorite is when an ad doesn't work, when it's like clicks through and it doesn't work.
Well, so what I've noticed, like a lot of the ads that I've been seeing, like up until this game, where you know, like I said, do not see ads, have been interactive game ads. So like they make you play like a 10, like 15 seconds of a game. And you can't even, like you won't even be able to click out of it until you like make the first move.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like wow. You have to interact with it, but
that's often why it feels like they're bullying you.
Yeah, exactly. And they're often that stupid, random, like, somehow there are thousands versions of it. Castle game.
I guess, yeah. If it was like, yeah, come watch this movie. And then it's like, you start watching the movie and they're like, all right, that first scene was good, right? Now get the fuck out. Or
give
me
us
money.
$3 or if you want to see the next two scenes.
I thought it was free. Yeah, that first scene was.
It's comfy here, right?
Well, speaking of ads, I think we have to take a little ad break because the Game Boys don't pay themselves. Windows, windows, windows. I'm selling one thing, and it's houses made of windows. There's no walls, no floors, and no doors. Just glass from head to toe. There's glass on the ceiling. There's glass on the walls. There's glass on the doorknobs.
I love my new glass house. I look through it all the walls every day. And look at that beautiful sunrise. It's getting pretty hot as the sun's rising in here. I can feel my skin, it's starting to crackle a little bit.
Yeah, you can't see anything in this house. You're not gonna be able to see a thing. It's gonna be reflected everywhere.
Yeah, it's blindingly bright in here, and skin's starting to fall off my arms and legs. I can start to feel like I might be going blind in here.
Buy my giant microwave oven today!
I'm delicious!
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Game Boys podcast. I'm still Lux, your co-host still Griffin, and your guest is still Josh Siegel. We're still talking about the game Looper, but it's time to rate that game, boys. So the way this works, Josh, is we're going to give this game a rating on a scale from 1 to 5 joysticks and give a little summary of why we feel the way we do about it. And that is that. And you are our guest, and so politeness dictates that you go first.
Just so I'm clear, I'm rating it as like how much I like it, how good I think it is.
Yeah, how would you feel in your heart?
Is this objective or subjective?
Subjective for sure. It's what's in your heart.
I give it like a 3.5 out of 5 joysticks.
All right, why is that?
Because like I know about the ad problem. I have to discount it for that. Like I avoided it. But sure. I knew about it, you know? And it's just kind of boring overall. Like, it's a good game, but I'm on level 75, like, somehow.
Jesus Christ.
Without blinking, it just happened because, you know, no ads, so it's fast. And sure. I don't care. I played it again today because I was like, oh, I'm going to be on this podcast talking about this game. I should probably play it.
Check it out.
But yeah, I'm not like addicted to it.
I'm addicted to them, right?
That's super fair. I like this game. I think it's super well designed, and then the ads kind of really break up the experience for me. But I'm not really sure how else they could do it, other than like have some way to like have them not be so big, like such eyesores, like when they appear. But I think this game does what it wants to do, but doesn't really reinvent any wheel or like make me have to tell people about it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to give it a 1.5 because the ads drove me crazy, but Griffin made a very compelling case that I was being sort of an unsympathetic and rude person for thinking that way. And I think you're right. So we'll give it a 2.5. Cause I think the game is pretty good, but just like, as you say, it's not reinventing anything. It definitely gets old pretty fast. It's like a fun, like 10, 15 minute thing, but it doesn't really hold my attention much longer than that. And with the ads, it's like, I can't play it at all. and like the ads are just so bad. And I wish, like, I don't know, I know there's not a way right now to do that in a way that doesn't feel like they're bullying me, but I still don't like feeling like they're bullying me.
It's just a different, it's like, you know what games I really like, mobile games that I've gotten addicted to, are like multiplayer games, like games where I'm playing a random person.
Sure.
But it's a person. It's not like, it's not just some like pretty puzzle or like against the computer. It's like another human. So there's like a golf game that I played for a while that I thought was pretty good. Golf Clash. And then there's like an archery game that's made by Miniclip that I guess is making iOS games.
Miniclip.
Really? Yeah,
now Miniclip. Wow, that's a throwback.
Yeah, they like make a bunch of weird iOS games.
Bringing it back.
Awesome. Well, that's the game. Thank you for bringing that one on. Let's move on to our segment of segments.
I believe the phrasing is, now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, made entirely out of segments. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the segment. Griffin, you do the first segment, so you got us on board. What you got, baby?
Yeah, before my first segment, I forgot to mention this at the top. This is just a side news note that I really want to talk to you about on the podcast. Have you seen the trailer for Teen Titans, the live action one?
Oh.
There's a live action Teen Titans coming?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the one with the animated one, which looks great. I've seen the one with the live one, which looks less.
There is a live action version that DC is making for their own streaming service online, and in it it's a dark noir version of the Teen Titans, you know, what we all want from Teen Titans. And Robin, in one of the opening shots, says "fuck Batman," which is
dude, it's so funny. That's funny. I thought about using that for the thing, but I had Hulk Hogan on my mind in a big way all day, so I kind of had to get that out of the system.
I saw a headline today that there's going to be a CW show of a Jewish female Batwoman, which I guess Batwoman has to be female, well, or it doesn't have to be, I guess, but you know. But the Jewish thing like stuck out to me in the headline.
Yeah, weird character detail.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of, I mean,
how does that play into the character? It's like, oh, there's crimes happening, but it's Shabbos, so I better stay home. That's crazy. It's like, oh, what are you gonna do?
I'm sure she's non-practicing.
Yeah. Well, then what even is it? She's just like really anxious. Yeah. Oh, like, look, that might be, I mean, you're listening, you know, my dad's a rabbi. I can make Jewish jokes all fucking day. And if you get mad at me, probably justified, but I'm still gonna do it.
But that was my tangent, and now we're gonna go into everyone's favorite segment. It's What's That Sound? All right, now Lux and Josh get to play and this one. I'm gonna play the sound. It's from a video game. You guys gonna try and guess what it is.
This is a really good one.
All right. Now, Josh, do you have a guess?
Am I guessing like what game it came from?
Yeah.
Like Mario Party.
Okay, that's a good guess, but no, it is not Mario Party.
It's Mario something though, right?
No, it is not in the Mario franchise at all. Let me play this. Let me play this one more time for you guys. Maybe I'll start giving you guys some hints.
It sounds insanely Nintendo.
I'm gonna let it drop too.
Okay, yeah.
Oh. Why did you do this like before?
This is a funky beat, and if it gets us DMCA'd, I don't care.
Any more guesses? Now, it is a big franchise.
It's menu music from something.
It is probably menu music and probably level one music as well.
Okay.
Level one. Like Pokemon?
So close, but not Pokemon. The
Digimon?
I'm sorry. I guess not close, just not right.
I was like, I knew it wasn't the intro music for Digimon because we all know what that is. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
And it goes, change into digital champions. Oh, champions, yeah.
To save the digital world. And this is why we have a podcast together, because we can just do that. Anyways.
Digimon digital?
They exist inside of computers, but also there's a digital universe that's like created by the fact that the internet exists, and they live in there, and they can come out sometimes because of magic, I guess. It's weird.
It was written before people knew exactly what the internet was going to be used for, and they're like, it's a magical zone.
It's a whole animal.
No, they're like, the way it works is like, there's an internet, but the fact there's an internet also creates like a magical sub-universe where the Digimon live.
It was great. It was very
it's like some extremely China Mieville shit if you think about it.
Guys, do we have any final guesses on what franchise it's from?
Is it Wii Sports Resort?
You know what? This is a hard one. It's from Crash Bandicoot. Oh, it's like the Crash Bandicoot intro.
So Pokemon was close.
Pokemon was close.
No, I guess
a
not.
A bandicoot's an animal.
Could be a Pokemon.
Sure.
Okay, I felt like it was misleading. But let's move on to a segment that we can really sink our teeth into.
Yeah, let's pull actually that one really well. Don't look at this. It's time for the wiki dive. Josh can't see the screen because I'm looking at the thing. So the way that this works, ladies and gentlemen, is that I will be reading the Wikipedia entry for a famous video game character, and Josh and Griffin will see who can be the first one to identify who the character is based on their backstory.
Ridiculous.
All right, here we go.
Waluigi.
No, it's not.
Luigi.
All right.
Nope. We're narrowing it down.
How do I do this one? All right.
The dot from Looper.
Which dot are you, Griffin?
What
are you playing as? I'm an energy ball.
I'm a fireball.
I'm a fireball.
All right, ready? He was trained to become a great pilot just like his father when he met his new friend, a rowdy but street-savvy bird who wanted to become a pilot too. Damn it, that was so fast.
Yeah, that's actually
the only pilot character in video games.
Well, Captain Falcon, maybe.
Well, yeah, no, I was thinking about doing actually Captain Falcon. It might have been better. Damn, I didn't even get to the part because it gets so crazy.
Let's hear a few more of the crazy lines then. Just out of curiosity,
Fox's father volunteered to test a new gravity bomb Andross made, but was lost and presumed dead when the bomb detonated with a far greater effect than anyone expected. Andross was sent out exiled from the star system, but returned and built a power place based on the planet Venom. Fox protested, but the leaders, terrified by Andross's power, exiled Fox to the planet Papatoon. And that's just the beginning. This thing is long as hell.
Yeah, it's interesting. Those Star Fox games, they tried to have some war themes, right?
Yeah, some real themes of like power and like the failure of governance on things.
Yeah, and now you've just shown us a great example of the failure of a host in making a segment. You know.
Hey, that's like familiar. It's almost like the
fly and just pick a new Wikipedia page.
It's almost like, yeah, we could try a different one. Let's see if we can pivot into a better one. Give me one second to come up
I don't write new riddles on the spot when my riddles go out.
Yeah, but I don't
ask them to.
Yeah, the guest isn't asking you, and I don't tell you that you did a bad job. I try to be supportive, you asshole.
Well, that's your fatal flaw.
I guess, yeah. My fatal flaw is that I'm nice to my friends. You're right.
My one note? Yeah. Be less nice to me.
Yeah, be meaner. Yeah, well, that would sort of just balance things out. Huh? Let me try to think who
you
I
should be meaner to him.
Hell yeah, we have a dynamic. It's fine. who will I pick? Okay. I got one. All right. Ready? Here we go. Titanga, a space alien, invades her nation, Sarasaland, in order to marry her and make her his queen. He kidnaps her and hypnotizes all the land's inhabitants, enslaving them into his army. The hero attempts to rescue her and bring peace to Sarasaland by traveling through each of the four kingdoms in pursuit of Titanga to try and defeat him. Throughout the game, enemies disguise themselves as her to trick the hero into believing he has rescued her. In the end, she is rescued, but Titanga manages to escape. She thanks Mario and
Wait a second. Titanga?
Yeah.
Well, is it like the original or some shit?
No, it's not who you think it is.
It's not Lady Toad.
It's not Lady Toad.
It's not the Yoshi lady.
It's not Birdo.
Okay.
She makes her golfing debut in Mario Golf Toadstool Tour. She's playable by default, and this is the first sports game where she's physically more powerful than her friend.
I'm glad we did a second one for you to slip up and say Mario.
Look, I don't think you guys were going to get there if I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not.
So at least I'm helping you out.
What an exciting firework ending.
Come on, what you got for me?
Griffin's just calling it. He's not interested.
Griffin, give me a guess.
I thought we guessed Mario.
It's not Mario. It's the lady I'm talking. The woman is the subject.
Well, who's Titanga?
Titanga's the alien that came and kidnapped this particular woman.
Peach?
It's not Peach.
Oh, okay. I was confused. I thought Mario was the person that we were guessing. Kid Bowser.
Nope. Here's
it's a lady character.
It's a woman character.
Are we talking about the mayor of town?
The mayor of town. This isn't Homestar Runner.
The mayor of New Donk City.
No, it's not the mayor of New Donk City. I can't believe you're not getting. You're guessing like so. You guessed the really obvious ones and have moved way past. This person's like way more known than New Donk City. This person appears in the Mario Tennis series.
Oh, are you talking about the brown haired lady?
Oh come on, she has a fucking name, dude.
Well, that character is like a clone of Mayor of New Donk City.
Okay, Daisy is not. I mean, it's Daisy. Daisy is not a clone of the New Donk City mayor.
Oh damn it! My prejudices have been revealed.
Yeah, Griffin can't tell brown-haired women apart.
That's why the podcast is dangerous.
Yeah, look, man, it reveals a lot about you. But that was actually a surprising amount of fun for a segment I kind of botched. Anyways, that's gonna be the end of our show, as you can probably tell, because things are going off the rails. So Josh, I'm sure the people want to hear more from you. Where can they do that?
In my newsletter that I make for the company I work at, Imprint Projects. You can sign up for the newsletter. I really want you to do that.
What are we gonna receive on this newsletter that would help us in our day to day?
Will Imprint put the Game Boys in the? Will you put those in the newsletter? Like I was on an episode of Banga.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, now I'm subscribing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Banga.
Yeah.
All Ganga no Chunga. What a good deal. Are you on Twitter? Can people find you there?
You can't find me on Twitter yet. I was thinking about starting a new one though.
Okay.
Because I got things to say.
Yeah, you certainly do.
But I've never really found the medium suited me, but I feel like I'm finally starting to turn.
You feel like now 2018 is the right time to dip into Twitter?
I think now that it's like dying.
The most poisonous time.
Yeah. Well, someone's got to do it.
It's like seems like, yeah, someone's got to do it. Yeah, these 50,000 people screaming at each other every day.
If you want, you could follow me on Instagram, I guess.
Where can they do that?
Josh__ that's two underscores, Siegel, Segal.
Banga. All right, cool. Griff, man, tell the people what they want now.
You can follow us at Game Boys Pod on Instagram, or you can come check out Dad's New Apartment, new sketch channel online.
All right, and then, I guess you have a show tonight, or this week, but people aren't going to hear about that. This is going to come out after that.
They'll miss it. I embarrass myself once a month at the Peck Theater every fourth Sunday at 8 o'clock, and this month is going to be really embarrassing. Yeah, some people will be on the other end of the show and be like, yeah.
For sure. All right. Well,
wait, Griffin, I just noticed your cool tattoo. Can I see more of it?
Yeah.
That's a scary pumpkin.
That is a scary pumpkin.
Do your listeners all know about this scary pumpkin?
I don't think anyone, I guess a lot of listeners probably don't know Griffin has a tattoo of a scary pumpkin.
I didn't know about it until about 5 seconds ago.
How did this get here? All right. Well, you can find me, at ML Surfboard on Twitter.
At Scary Pumpkin on Twitter.
Oh, I wish. At ML Surfboard on Twitter. You can find, other stuff from ours at the Facebook page, the Game Boys Facebook page. I'm going to start posting some stuff from my Mexico trip up there soon once it's finished processing. And you can find the Not Even a Show stuff. It comes back July 22nd, the Not Even a Show on YouTube. And you can also find the Wisecrack stuff, obviously, Wisecrack on YouTube. And Party World Wrestling is going to be launching the Indiegogo for the next show, which is September 8th, pretty soon. So stay tuned for that and look for it on Facebook. That is all. My name is Lux. I'm your host. Your co-host is Griffin Davis. Your guest is Josh Siegel. Your editor is Haley Clement. Your intro and outro music is by Matthew Morton. Your art is by Brittany Metz. Goodbye, Internet. We love you very much.
Looper. I forgot the name of the game.
That was a pretty good voice for it. Looper.